Welcome to the Multiamory Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
We believe in looking to the future of relationships, not maintaining the status quo of the past.
Whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, swinging, casually dating, or if you just do relationships differently, we see you and we're here for you.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are answering a question from one of our Patreon supporters. If you want the opportunity to ask a question on the show, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/multiamory. We will be doing this for the next couple months, releasing an extra episode each week answering a listener's question, and we're really excited to hear from you all about what you think of this new format.
We have spent a lot of time studying healthy relationship communication, but we're not mind readers. We're working on it, but it's a slow process. So just keep that in mind as we answer these questions. Our advice is based solely on the limited information that we have from the questions, so please take it with a grain of salt.
Everybody's situation is unique. We encourage you to use your own judgment, seek professional help if needed. And the question below has been edited for time and clarity.
The question is, how can I know if sneaky-archy is happening in my relationship? Sneaky-archy, that's a new one. I love
it. Is that new to you?
It is. Huh? Sneaky-archy.
No, I've heard this one used
sneaky
sometimes.
Hierarchy, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So again, to piggyback off of, I think, a question episode we did a few weeks ago, that there can be this assumption in the non-monogamous community that hierarchy equals bad and non-hierarchy equals good. And therefore, a lot of people who are newly becoming non-monogamous or newly opening up their relationships will do everything in their power to make sure people know that they're not practicing hierarchy, when sometimes that can be in name only. And there may be a lot of unexamined behaviors that sneak in there that do create a hierarchy, hence sneakyarchy.
Got it. Okay. Well, here's some context for this question. When I was dating my last boyfriend, we'll call him Jack, he had another girlfriend, we'll call her Lily, and three additional other partners. Jack and I are both solo poly and live alone and both followed a non-hierarchical model. We had been together for about 18 months, and he'd been together with Lily for about 15 months when he told me that, as a part of the kink aspect of his relationship with her, the two of them were going to have a private commitment ceremony, and she was going to give him a necklace that he would wear all the time, except for instances like going through the TSA. Maybe it was a really big necklace.
Sorry. Right.
I'm sorry, I don't know why that made me laugh. That was just so specific.
It was. Such an interesting, specific
exception. I just imagine this kink dynamic where we very clearly laid out some agreements that you've got to keep this collar on at all times, but I guess if the TSA is involved, then
you can take
a pass.
It up.
Yeah.
They're not going to understand.
Exactly. I asked him if this meant that he was moving to a hierarchical model of polyamory and if Lily was now his primary partner. He said that they were not primary partners because they had decided that they were not. I don't think Jack would lie to me, so I figured my perception that she'd become his primary partner was incorrect and that I needed to ask more questions in order to truly understand what was going on. This went on for almost 2 months. I kept asking questions, trying to understand what was going on, and I just kept getting more and more emotionally activated without understanding why. Finally, he broke up with me the day before Thanksgiving, and I came across the concept of sneakyarchy. Now that I have more distance from the situation, I see that sneakyarchy was absolutely happening. How can I recognize sneakyarchy in my relationships in the future, where things may not be so cut and dry? And how can I recognize if I start creating sneakyarchy in my own relationships? I don't want to do this to anyone else. It was so incredibly, incredibly damaging. Sincerely, Mystified in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Another great sign-off.
Yeah.
Good job, everybody. Really crushing it on the sign-offs.
For sure. Woof.
Yeah.
That one's tough.
Seems like it's tough. Seems like it could be kind of sneaky.
Yeah, some sneakiness and some, I think, just mismatched expectations on what it is that hierarchy means to each other. I think that maybe a person could see that as sneakyarchy or hierarchy, but then to another person, it might be like, well, that's just a thing that I'm getting to do with this partner. and that's a part of our kink, and therefore that's why it's happening.
Yeah, I do think the kink aspect adds some complication here, right? Because kink can interweave into relationships, especially non-monogamous relationships, in some very unique ways, that the ways that people choose to play around with power exchange can be quite varied. And it can involve these things that I suppose can mirror what we've come to associate with as, I guess I call it like maybe markers of exclusivity or markers of possession, right? Because sometimes that's the very thing that we're playing around with. And whether intentional or not, that can definitely bring up feelings for people who are on the outside of that looking in.
Yeah, I do want to add one extra piece of context that we had originally cut out of this, and that's after the thing about the necklace. Also, there were other signs before this that she might have become his primary partner, but I'd been telling myself I was imagining them. So I do think that's another important piece to fit into this, that it's not just this one thing, but there was kind of some other stuff raising some question marks for Mystified here. And so I do think that's also worth considering in all of this. Because my initial reaction to just the kink part with the necklace is kind of to say like, well, that is sort of a different thing. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that relationship is hierarchical in other senses of their life. But the fact that there's these other signs makes me think this isn't really about the necklace, but that was just the easy thing to point to. Right? Mm. That clearly there was some stuff going on that you were sensing. And I do think that's worth kind of acknowledging and saying like, yeah, there was some stuff you were picking up on. And that's maybe where I would put the emphasis, is rather than on just specific symbols or kind of tangible things, but what were some of those other behaviors that were going on that made you feel that way? So let's dive in and explore this. But first, I just want to say thank you to Mystified in Massachusetts for writing in. And thank you to all of our patrons who help make this show possible. If you would like to become one of them, get to ask questions to put on the show, and also to be part of an amazing community of people who are really supportive of each other, have really great conversations. It's honestly one of the few like nice places on the internet, in my opinion. And I just really appreciate our communities for that. You can join that by going to multiamory.com/join. And becoming one of our patrons there, getting access to the private community, as well as things like ad-free episodes and our video discussion groups every month.
I want to acknowledge that this person definitely saw the fact that this was something that they were not okay with, that they questioned it, and then they realized after the fact, after the breakup happened, that yes, their fears were something that they needed to be worried about and that actually kind of came true. So from that standpoint, I think that just trusting your gut is something that hopefully they can do if they get into a situation again like this. That they're like, yeah, okay, I know now that what I was feeling in that moment actually was the thing that I needed to be worried about. And so I can kind of trust my gut if I feel alarm bells going off and get a little worried about, hey, I'm seeing something that I'm not necessarily okay with, or that's not the type of commitment and the type of boundaries or whatever you want to call it that are in place for the relationships that we're having, meaning solo polyamory, non-hierarchical, at least that's what they were hoping that it was going to be. And so all of a sudden, if that's changing, then my hope would be that the other person would be able to be honest about that. And I think that the honesty is what didn't really happen here, and that's potentially the main core issue.
I want to hop on what Jay said about, I think it is important to be able to have conversations about the specific observable behavior that has been taking place over time. I think that sometimes people can get maybe a little activated and like jump the gun, like the first time they feel like maybe they got the short end of the stick in a relationship. And I do think that for us to diagnose this as a sneaky-arky situation, I think we'd have to have a sense that this is some kind of unconscious pattern going on over time. We also don't get a lot of details about the breakup in particular. So a lot of things can go into breakups. I have a feeling that if we talk to the person who broke up with Mystified, they would probably claim, oh no, it had to do with 6 billion other things, right? Which is,
sure.
This is kind of how these stories go. But to bring it back, you know, I do think that in order to help with this in the future, I think you need to have the courage to be able to sit down with a partner in a compassionate and calm way to talk about, hey, these are the things that I'm observing. Like, I've noticed that you haven't been as responsive to me. I noticed that we're getting less time together. Or maybe it's something like, hey, you did this commitment ceremony with another partner and that brought up some feelings for me. And I realized actually that maybe I'm wanting something similar as well from you. Mm. Can we talk about that? And then there has to be another level of when you see another partner getting jewelry, whether it's kink jewelry or commitment jewelry, do you also want jewelry? Or is it more about, I also want to feel like you're proud of me and want to formalize our relationship in some way? You know, like, this is a good opportunity to do some examination, do some investigation about what you're actually wanting. And I think that if your partner is able to receive that and be open to that and collaborate with you on that, then I don't think you have a sneakyarchy. You may just have a situation where different relationships are hitting different milestones at different times. And maybe that's clarifying to you some of the things that you're feeling like you actually also want in this relationship. I think if your partner's not open to that or gets really defensive about that, then maybe there might be something untowards happening. Or maybe they're just not interested in that with you. There could be that too.
Yeah, potentially. And I guess that's something I wanted to come back to when we're talking about specific behaviors, is I would even narrow that further to say, what are the things you could focus on that have to do with your relationship specifically? Because I think that we can get ourselves in trouble if we're too focused on like, oh, well, I think they're doing this in this other relationship, or they're thinking a different way about this other relationship than they are about me. And it's not that those feelings aren't valid, because that does come up, right? That comparison or envy or whatever can come up. But it's ultimately not really a thing that you can do anything about, and is a hard thing to get clear answers on. And it's ultimately really not the problem. I would say that in this case, it sounds like there were some things, and I don't know what they might have been, but some things going on that felt like your relationship with Jack wasn't being prioritized when you felt like it should have been, or was being deprioritized for him. Maybe that was kind of leaving just the scraps of his schedule for you. Maybe that was feeling like your plans were more likely to get canceled on, things like that. And I'm speaking from experience at times where I've been upset about this. And my first reaction was to focus on what's the other relationship causing this problem for me. And when I eventually was able to switch my focus to be more about, well, what's actually happening in my relationship that I'm not happy about, and focus on that, then it kind of puts it on your partner to realize like, oh, if this is a problem in this relationship, I've got to figure out a way to fix that. Whether that involves my other relationship or not, that's kind of not your problem. And I don't mean like, you get your nose out of it. I just mean like, you don't have to be stressing about it. That's not your problem. If you just focus on asking for what you want and having those conversations about your own relationship, it's kind of like, let them take care of whatever mess they may have made in their other relationship. I know I'm sounding a little bit like harsh about it, but there's something freeing about that, of kind of limiting the scope of what you need to worry about and focus on here.
Right. Yeah, I think all of those are really good points. I would just also kind of look at, what is it that you want in your ideal relationship structure? And do you think that you are ever going to want things that include a commitment ceremony or a piece of jewelry or something along those lines after, you know, seeing this? Because if you're upset that somebody else is doing that with someone, I mean, that's telling. But again, like Jason Dedeker said, that's not about you and your relationship. And so maybe those aren't necessarily the things to be focusing on. Now, if there are other things within the relationship that are you're struggling with, or commitments that are broken, or plans that are kind of thrown by the wayside because they're deciding to go out with someone else, then that may be an issue in another way. But those are all things to look at. And I think when you're talking about how can I recognize if I start creating sneakyarchy in my own relationships, look back at this experience. And also ask yourself and get clear with your partners, what is it that we want to add to this relationship, and what is it that we don't want in this relationship?
Yeah, and just focus on the dynamics in those relationships themselves. And I just want to encourage you not to get too caught up in trying to analyze or be hyper alert for hierarchy, but more be hyper alert, maybe not hyper alert, but be alert for just behavior that doesn't feel respectful of your own relationship.
Yeah.
That I think putting your energy there is going to keep you in a more positive place. And to go back real quick to the jewelry thing, the necklace, I do think that's an interesting dynamic, right? Because part of the whole deal with jewelry in a kink setting, often like a collar or something like that, is that by agreeing to wear it all of the time, I mean, except for TSA, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
When agreeing to wear it all the time, part of kind of the kink dynamic there is that it's sort of this public show of like being owned or kind of being possessed by this other person, right? That's all part of the dynamic. However, when it comes to them wearing that all the time when they're with you, you're now kind of part of their dynamic, whether you wanted to or not. And I don't mean to say like, oh, this is some sort of violence against you or something like that. Like, I don't think it's helpful to try to take it into this like, oh, well, you involved me in your kink without my consent. Like, it is a question of, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
And I think it's valid to say like, honestly, I don't want to be part of that type of relationship with you and this other person. So I don't want you to wear that with me. Like when you're around me, I want that to be another exception you guys make. And I get that that kind of goes against your thing, but
that's
going to make me feel better. So I'm not having to always be thinking about this other person when I'm with you. It's not that I want to pretend they don't exist. It's not like a don't ask, don't tell. But I just don't want to have that all up in front of me, even when we're naked together or something like that. I think that is a fair thing to ask. It's also a fair thing for them to say no to. And then for you to maybe decide, this sucks and it's sad, but I don't want to be in this relationship.
Do you feel the same way about like non-kinky jewelry?
Mm.
I think, again, I think it all is a question of, is it uncomfortable for you? Because maybe it's fine, right? Maybe it is, oh, you have a ring from this person. I'd like you to have one from me too. And then it's like, okay, I at least feel like
do you take
I'm
them
not
off? Do you like take being one off and put
yeah.
it on?
Yeah, well, okay, because I think I've had some bad experiences with a partner asking
sure.
me to remove jewelry from another
oh,
partner.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Huh. Yes. Yikes. You were
because it was my
part of that. Yeah, exactly. I'm assuming it must have been. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I do think that yeah, the kink aspect again it adds this other level of like it's I guess it's often there's a sexual dynamic involved that you're sort of kind of having to be involved. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think you can really split hairs on this one.
The reason why I think there's levels to it and why it's worth having a conversation about, and I'm not saying like one side or the other is the right one, but you do kind of need to find some agreement on it. With something like wearing non-kink jewelry, there's often not this condition of, and you have to wear this at all times. If you take it off when you're going to have sex or shower or whatever, that's fine, whatever, it's jewelry. Like you do what you do with jewelry. So I think that part of the kink dynamic is different, where there's this expectation of part of our relationship dynamic is I can't ever take this off. And so I think that changes it a little bit.
Yeah,
like it removes
tough.
Some of that flexibility where it's like, maybe it's like, yeah, you can wear your ring from your other partner, but like, I'd rather you didn't while we're having sex, like in that actual moment. It could be that. Like, I just think that's a conversation that it's worth being able to have and not just assume you don't get to have that. And maybe your answer is, I don't want to be in that relationship. Maybe their answer is, I don't want to be in a relationship with you if you aren't okay with me doing that. Like,
yeah.
All those are valid, if sad and upsetting options.
I just don't want to get too focused on jewelry. I just don't
sure,
want, like,
sure.
because here's the deal, is I feel like I can see people thinking, if if I get my partner to take off this jewelry, that's going to resolve my complicated feelings that I have about their relationship.
True.
And
yeah.
when really it's not about the jewelry.
Yeah.
That is
I think
a
I
lot
agree with your saying
this.
About it's yes. like, I think people can have a conversation about this and people can negotiate this, but I also don't want people to hear this and take that as permission of like, that's going to be my way to kind of control someone so that then I can deal with my maybe negative relationships about their relationship.
Yes, that's such a good point. Yes, that often we're treating the symptom and not actually what's going on.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings us back to the point I think we're all trying to make, which is focus on what's really going on in your relationship with this person, less about what's going on in their other ones, but kind of focus on that. Because ultimately, that's the only relationship you have with this person is the one that you have with them.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one that you have control over to a certain degree, that you have influence in. Right? So I think focusing on that could help with both.
Right. Mystified in Massachusetts. Thank you for your question. Best of luck with your next relationships. And also, I mean, thank you for your question, because I appreciate the three of us having an opportunity to talk about these things as well.
It's been many years since we talked about that whole ring.
I know.
Thing. Oh,
yeah. And we want to hear from the rest of you as well. The best place to share your thoughts with other listeners about this episode is in the episode discussion channel in our Discord server, or you can post about it in our private Facebook group. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our production assistants are Rachel Schenowork and Carson Collins. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. Full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.